Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc. See a GP online anytime for prescriptions and sick notes. Download the VideoDoc app. VideoDoc.ie.
This is Ciara and this is a Lunchtime Live podcast from News Talk. If you like what you hear, don't forget that you can subscribe via the app or on iTunes and make sure to check us out at newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Thanks for listening.
Now, wedding bells are fast approaching. Do you care? For Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. But it has been revealed today who will actually attend their wedding. And there are a few famous faces missing. The couple are to break with royal tradition for their wedding, with UK and foreign politicians not making the cut on the official guest list. For some couples, of course, who are mere mortals, creating a wedding guest list may come as a bit of a challenge. Two, it's not just about royal couples. Whereas others, you know, have the small intimate weddings in the restaurant or whatever and only have a few of their pals there. Some people with the bigger venues, they get the demands for the aunties and the uncles and the cousins and the pals from the parents' golf club or wherever the parents go. And it can be turned from a dream day into a bit of a nightmare for some people. But how do you decide on a guest list for your wedding? Do you, you know, and do you give family, extended family and parents a shout into who gets to come and, you know, share the day or whatever? To discuss all of this and to avoid the pitfalls of all of this, I am joined now in studio by Nisha McNally, founder of One Fab Day, to give us the do's and don'ts of that guest list. And the guest list was, first up, Nisha, do you feel sorry for poor Harry and Meghan, that, you know, the scrutiny that they're under?
I think, I actually think the wedding guest list, we were talking about it this morning in the office, I think not having to invite Theresa May et al, is probably, you know, they're probably delighted about that. I felt really sorry over the weekend. I think Meghan's come under scrutiny about everything. There was a post online about the fact that she has one grey hair and it was actually highlighted in Mary
Kate.
And it was actually revolting, to be honest. I think that sort of scrutiny is just horrible. It's unnecessary. And I think fair play to them. They're doing things their own way and, you know, they should do that because he's not going to get the throne. So who cares, do you know?
Well,
let him
exactly
do what he wants to do.
God love her. I do think that all the people who marry into the royal family are scrutinised to see if they're kind of good enough, which is kind of a bit of a joke.
Oh, I mean, it's awful. And I think being American,
Harry has landed on his feet with Meghan Markle.
I think
she
seems lovely, and I think the only thing I would say for her is I hope, you know, she's coming from a different situation than Kate Middleton is. She's American and she doesn't fully understand, I think, and this is just my own surmising, that what it's like to be part of the royal family. I think we in Ireland would have a fairly good idea of what you'd be getting yourself into. I think maybe as an American we wouldn't fully get it, because
it's one of the reasons I've never married any of them myself, to be honest, because I just felt it wasn't worth it.
No, I don't think it would be worth it for me either. It wouldn't be, but I think so. I wish them the best, and I'm glad that they're doing things their own way, and I think, you know, they are probably right to
but
do that.
But for normal people who are not of blue blooded sort of shenanigans, it is one of those things that people have big rows over, isn't it? How many
really
are you
is.
Inviting? How many am I inviting? You have more friends than me. My granny's third cousin went to all the family weddings and all that. People fall out over this
stuff.
People
really fall out over it. And it's, I suppose there's some general tips. So the first thing you're doing is you're looking at your budget. You have to be really careful about this. You're looking at the budget that you have, and you're looking at the number of the type of wedding that you might want to have. So if you're having a pub wedding or a restaurant wedding, or if you're having a big black tie wedding, that has to be decided first as a couple. And then it comes down to a math game. So like, if you know, if your budget is, I don't know, like let's make a crazy budget and say it's 100,000 and you want to splash the cash on someone, and you're going to have 250 guests, great, you know, you can have 250 guests. If on the other hand your budget's more modest or it's more normal, and you're looking at a price per head and you're looking at particular venues have caps on numbers, you know. If you could be looking at a venue that might only do 40 people and other venues have 110 and that's it. So that's kind of your starting point, is
so
how much
budget will cap it, but also
the number, the physical venue will as well.
And isn't there like some people who it would just be like pulling teeth for them to be in a room full of 150 people all chatting?
Totally.
They might have the 100 grand, which I suspect most people don't, but they might have the 100 grand, but they only want 30 friends there because they're not that extrovert person.
And that's a really important thing. And I think that's one thing that's really lovely in Ireland over the last, say, 10 years. We've watched it over the course of the site's been around for about 8 years now, and things have really changed and people feel really free to have restaurant weddings. I've gone to 2 restaurant weddings in the last 6 months. My friends would be 35, 36, so they're a little bit older, and they just don't want the big fandango. So they're inviting 30, 40 guests and that's it. And so that number is very tight. So if you're having, you know, your siblings, and maybe your siblings' partners if you're that age. And so you know you're already up to 20 people odd. Like,
so then you're having your best mates, yeah, best and your mates family.
And that's kind of it. Like, so if you're having a smaller number, that's perfect. And that is very acceptable now, I think.
Where it becomes more tricky, though, I would suspect, is you are having mm-hmm. the 100 yeah. guests or the 150 guests. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. you have your, as you say, your family, that's the 20 odd people. And then you have your bestie mates and they're clearly coming too. So now you're up to 40 or 50 people. Now you've got another 50 people to play with. Are they your work colleagues? Are they the friends of your family? Or, as I say, are they your second cousins? Are they the people that, but so-and-so, you know, the demands from your parents maybe or people like that to have a say in who comes? When the numbers are that bit bigger and it's not as clear cut, and also I think if someone hears, my daughter's getting married in a restaurant wedding, they kind of go, well, I wouldn't be invited to that. But if they hear my daughter's getting married in the hotel with the function room and the guna and the whole everybody going,
yeah,
it becomes trickier.
It can become trickier. And I think it's very important for couples to have this conversation under wraps before they get anyone else involved. Because as soon as you start talking about anything to do with the wedding, especially with your parents or siblings or aunts, uncles, God knows who, random people come out with opinions and they will start to affect you. You have to be fairly clear from the get-go who is going to be on your list. So and being very methodical about it. So if you have X number of siblings and their partners, and then you say, as you say, like 10 friends each plus partners would be 40 people alone, which are just 10 mates. And a lot of people would easily have that many friends.
A lot of people have 10 kind of reasonably good
friends.
Pals.
And then so that's 10 plus their partners is 20 plus multiplied by 2 is 40 plus your family. So you're up to 60 easily. Typically what happens next would be close, like the next circle of family. So aunts and uncles. One big problem is cousins. Like that's a huge issue because some people have no cousins. Some people have loads of cousins. Often you have very imbalanced families where you have one with loads and one with none.
Somebody has like 5 friends, another person has 40 friends. Yeah. And that becomes a weird wedding.
It can become a little bit divisive. So the cousins thing, the friendship thing is obviously up to each couple and hopefully they would balance that out. The cousins thing is a real minefield because often the cousins couldn't care less, but the aunts and uncles go mad individually.
I have a couple of cousins I'm quite close to whom I like greatly and they are people I am friends with and I choose to see outside of things like weddings as well. So clearly I would want them at my wedding. But I have other cousins I haven't seen in decades, to be honest. And then they're probably lovely people, but I, you know, it's funny when we lump everybody in because they're all cousins, but there are people you have relationships with and people you
and
don't.
I think that's always what, I think being clear about your rationale for any group of people. So we typically, I was talking about this in the office earlier and it was like, there's certain groups of people that typically cause problems on any wedding guest list. The cousins are one. Plus ones is another great one. Children is a huge bone of contention in a lot of wedding guest lists.
People take massive offence if you say no children and they have two little darlings that they were imagining in the flower girl's outfit.
Sometimes in families it can happen. So like, you know, the nieces or nephews or whoever, some of them I know of one family, not that distant from my own, where one niece decided she was going to be flower girl. That was it. And it was like, it was, and you know, how do you tell a 10-year-old, well, actually,
I wasn't planning on that,
you know, it can be awkward. But in the UK, it's a much bigger issue from my understanding than in Ireland. I think in Ireland, people are a bit more copped on about it.
Well, you'd think, but someone has just texted and said, I got married last year. We live in the country. My wife's father wanted his neighbours invited, but didn't want to invite one neighbour because he wasn't invited to one of their kids' weddings 20 years previously. Now, that couple are not invited to our wedding and they won't talk to us. So people, this stuff causes...
It causes ructions. It really does. I think with parents, friends is another one. Parents, friends, traditionally parents would have paid for the wedding, like this going back 20, 30 years. Now parents typically, if they're going to do anything, will make a contribution. And our general rule of thumb is if your parents are paying for your whole wedding, they kind of do get a good say over the guest list because they are
paying
the bill. If they're making a contribution, typically what would happen is people would make a concession and give them a certain number of guests, but they don't get to rule the roost. But the other big thing is you have to get in very quickly before all and sundry, you know, your mum or dad or whoever with the best of intentions is now saying to everyone that they know.
What do you think of this, Nisha? Someone says, Kira, I was invited to my cousin's wedding. We were told no kids allowed. Fair enough. But I've just found out the bride's friend's kids are invited. I'm so offended, but I don't know if I should say anything.
This is, I think, one of the number one rules about wedding guest lists is have a clear rationale and a clear rule that everyone can understand. If you're having no kids, it's no kids. Not no kids for you, not no kids for someone else. Because that's the offence. People will totally understand if it's only the family children. That's a standard rule. But it can't be only the family children with the exception of that 10-year-old I don't like. You know, that's just rude. It's just not nice. And it makes it very...
And probably people are very protective of their kids. They are. That they feel totally. Their kids are slighted. Totally. They react badly.
Parameters that everyone can follow. If it's like, you know, we're not having any work colleagues. Or we're having
except
only
for my best friend who sits next to me.
Well, yeah, and it could be like if in an office situation, you are genuinely and everyone knows you're great pals. Well, then no one's gonna have a problem with that. But if it's like, well, it's my great pal and the five other randomers that I've decided today. But you know, the cool gang from the water cooler. I've got the list in alphabetical order and I've gone from A to H and then I've cut off. It doesn't really fully make sense. And people then find it. Then they look for reasons why they might have been excluded.
Are you better off though, just? See, my feeling about this poor woman, and I take her pain about her kids, but just suck it up and say, you know what, there may be a reason for this. That person's kid might have, I don't know, autism or something and not be able to be left with. You don't know the reason. So maybe give the benefit of the doubt.
I think so. And I think also, frankly, I suppose I'm a bit of I'm a glass half full person. Mm. So I kind of feel like it's not worth it. You know, like, what's the point? Go to the wedding, enjoy the wedding. Your children are going, it could be offended by it, but really, is it worth it being offended by it? Is it just, you go and enjoy it without your children because you're going to have a child-free day and have a lovely time and just enjoy it for what it is and don't worry about
this
it.
This is dreadful stuff. This poor person is getting married soon and one of their uncles went mad that his children, so this is this mm-hmm. person's cousins, were not invited. Mm-hmm. That person rang every other aunt and uncle to complain mm-hmm. and to check if their children were invited. One who also had children who were not invited cancelled their acceptance to our wedding. Like, this is, like, I'll tell you what we did when I got married. My parents didn't create much of a fuss and I don't remember much of a fuss from my parents-in-law, but I think there was an expectation certain aunts and uncles would come and certain friends of theirs would come too. I remember it vaguely. We were a bit tight for numbers because I think we both had about 20 friends, which meant 40 friends, and that was up to 80 friends then who you were inviting for yourselves. And so there wasn't a huge amount, but in the end we kind of squashed them in somewhere sort of thing, because I thought to myself, do you know what? I don't want to be this person. I don't want to have aunts and uncles fighting and somebody snotty with me and somebody upset with me and somebody bothering me with something else. I just felt that was bad. But that's, you know what, that uncle is horrible.
Well, I think he's painting himself in a particularly bad light, to be honest.
But,
you know,
but he's really, you know, I think I understand why people are obviously sensitive, because, you know, we can see from the text coming in, people are sensitive to all of this stuff. But to do something that might result in the bride and groom being, you know, very upset on the day, surely their upset is more important than your upset.
I think though in the family maybe that it could be acknowledged that this person's deliberately causing trouble. It's not very nice. It's a really unpleasant thing to do. It actually happened to someone else I know very close to me, where they have only a few cousins and the cousins weren't really being invited, and then some of the cousins were three cousins, young enough cousins, like teenagers from the States, were coming up. The aunt and uncle were coming from the States, and then the cousins were coming over too, and they were highly offended that the children weren't invited, but the children were teenagers and had absolutely no interest in this wedding. Now, it was very offensive at the time, and it was just, at the end of the day, it was easiest to roll over, let the three cousins come, and do you know what? The three cousins didn't bother. They actually all played, as anticipated, they all played Xbox in the corner and didn't even bother. So you're paying for dinners, but do you know what? It's not worth having a fight over it, because sometimes it's just easier.
Lot in this niche, and I'm feeling very sorry for a lot of people. We can't get to them all, but someone says, Kira, I went to an acquaintance's wedding last month at great expense, even though I'm quite short of cash at the moment. I heard through, this is awful too, two friends since that the bride complained that my present was stingy. I gave €50 and a card. I'm really embarrassed that she complained about me to other people, really, but it's nice. All I had.
That's deeply unpleasant.
Oh my goodness.
That's
oh
really
guys,
not
you
nice.
Know, we only, you know, I know it's somebody's big day, but everyone needs to take a step back and try and keep the lid on all of these rows.
I think it's perspective as well. I think empathy is the thing that seems to be missing here, is that people are seeing it only from their own position, that, you know, I had an expectation of a certain amount of money, and they're not thinking, they're seeing it in the most negative light, as opposed to saying maybe there's a second side to this story. Maybe you know, at our own wedding, we did our guest list up afterwards, and you're doing your thank you cards, and I'd say 40% of our guests never gave us a gift. Am I offended? Am I not speaking to them? No, like, whatever, like, you know.
Do you know what? Let it
worry about it.
Let it go, and don't carry this kind of stuff around you, because it takes more from you.
It takes
from you to have this.
And
someone says, we were sure we didn't go overboard on our wedding due to having a very tight budget ourselves. We worked through the list together. We added those close to us. We were respectful of everyone's wishes, but we kept a tight rein on the family, because even though we listened respectfully, we couldn't necessarily go along. And I think that's fair enough. And the last one is this is somebody who just went, ah, here, I'm not having any fights with anyone. Mm-hmm. Someone says, went to a wedding 2 weeks ago, 560 guests. Both families were big on both sides and the whole parish was invited
that's
as well.
Hilarious.
Great night, but totally nuts. I'd say they just went, it doesn't matter anymore.
There's the famous one of the Healy Ray wedding a few years ago, and they had something like 1,500 guests in the NEC in Killarney. And it was basically a political fundraiser.
Oh, it was.
But,
it
you
was
know,
the Ardèche.
But 1,500 people, Ardèche. Like, I was like, fair play to
oh,
them.
Oh, look, Nisha, you were obviously a saint tiptoeing through all these things. That is Nisha McNally, founder of One Fab Day. Let us know what you think, 53106. Some of these texts are unreadable because they're awful things said to people about their big day that is actually heartbreaking.
Thanks again for listening to this Lunchtime Live podcast. Please do subscribe via the app or on iTunes and check us out on newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Talk to you again soon.